Well, good afternoon, and thanks for all of you sticking around this late in the conference to come to these presentations. My name is Sarah Thompson, and I am an instructor in Health and Wellness Studies at Binghamton University. I have two other colleagues here with me today, Jennifer Wegman, who will be doing the second half of this presentation, and Dr. Attab, who is in the audience and will not be presenting with us today, but he's here. So the title of our presentation is Assessing the Risk of Pathological Weight Management Behaviors in College Students. And we have no relationships to disclose. So the background here, with, as we look at our population and the rates of obesity recently reaching historical highs, it's a concern for obesity, but we also see another thing happening. We see this dangerous preoccupation with the desire to be thin starting to develop. We also see in the research that elevated BMIs may actually be predictors for pathological weight management behaviors and a perceived pressure to become thin. The desire to be thin is more pervasive in females, although males are also susceptible to body image concerns and have developed pathological weight management behaviors. Body image concerns have not been researched nearly as much or as extensively in men compared to women. And regardless of gender, we definitely see that this pathological or this preoccupation of the desire to be thin can lead to these unhealthy behaviors. Very specifically here, we see meal skipping, laxative use, self-induced vomiting, the use of diet pills, restricted eating, compulsive exercise, and the use of diuretics. These behaviors are actually indicators of eating disorders as listed in the Diagnostic Manual for Mental Disorders, in the 4th edition. So the purpose of our study was really to look at the relationship between gender, BMI, preoccupation with a desire to be thin, and pathological weight management behaviors. We really wanted to find the best predictors of pathological weight management behaviors in our population. So the methods that we used, we surveyed 956 college students from Binghamton University, which is a liberal arts university in upstate New York, and we assessed eating, exercise, and weight management behaviors. The instrument that we use was adopted from the Healthy Eating Patterns Assessment Survey that was actually developed by Todd F. Heatherton. The survey had a variety of different questions, over 100 different questions, that looked at self-reported items, looking at eating patterns, exercise, substance abuse, social relationships, and also the perception of self. We did calculate, as a lot of research does in this area, at self-reported height and weight to calculate BMI. So some of the symptoms that we were looking at in the questionnaire and looking to find these pathological weight management behaviors, we asked specific questions in the areas of fasting, binging, vomiting, compulsive exercise, the use of diet pills, laxatives, and diuretics. And our survey was administered through courses in our Health and Wellness Studies department. All undergraduates at Binghamton University are required to take a Health and Wellness Studies course to meet the university's general education requirement. We actually do not have a major. We are working on a certification program, so we felt that because we had a cross-section here of all majors, of all grade levels, that we got a good representative sample of our population, and our data does support that. So looking at our results, this slide looks at the relationship between BMI and gender, and we found that if you look across there, that there is really not a significant difference here. There's no real relationship going on between BMI and gender, and that the majority of our population does fall in the healthy weight category. We analyzed the relationship between BMI and ethnicity and found that a greater percentage here, if you follow along the line down there, that in the obese population, a greater percentage fell in the African American population. Okay, this is actually on par with national trends in obesity. But once again, looking at all different ethnic backgrounds, we still see that the largest portion of our population, regardless of ethnicity, fell into the healthy weight category. Okay. This slide shows the relationship between gender and the preoccupation with desire to be thin. We felt that it was important to look at both males and females differently. And we can see that we have a greater percentage, 33% of women with a desire, or the preoccupation with desire to be thin. But we also found that we had about a quarter of the men in our study who were also preoccupied with this desire to be thin. Okay. When analyzing the relationship between ethnicity and the preoccupation with a desire to be thin, I think we found some really interesting things, things that we weren't really expecting to find. We found that the Hispanic population was the most preoccupied with the desire to be thin. I know there's a lot going on right now looking at this population, and we found 41% of our sample in that group were preoccupied. Interestingly, we also found that African American population reported the least likely to be preoccupied with the desire to be thin, which is, once again, interesting when we go back and think about the rates of obesity in that population. Okay, and now I'd like to turn the presentation over to Jennifer Wegman.
Hi. So we also decided to analyze gender. Thank you. Being confused. BMI and the preoccupation with the desire to be thin. And again, we found that there was no relationship between the two. What was interesting and also kind of scary to us is that if you look within the healthy weight category, 62% of our students who are healthy weight are preoccupied with a desire to be thin. So what that's telling us is that our students who are considered normal weight or of healthy weight are feeling this extreme pressure to be even thinner than they already are. So we decided to look at, analyze gender and BMI for only those who were preoccupied with the desire to be thin. And again, we found that there was no relationship. We're starting to see a trend here, which we'll get to. As you can see, if you look across males and females, we see that there's similar percentages for males and females across every BMI category. Okay, so we calculated odds ratios for BMI with pathological weight management behaviors. So what we did is we looked at overweight and obese students, and we compared them to our underweight and healthy weight students. And what we found was, it's all up there. With the exception of diet pills, which we saw that our overweight and obese students were twice as likely to engage in the use of diet pills, our healthy weight and underweight students were as likely as our overweight or obese students to engage in these behaviors. So basically, when we look at relationships outside of diet pills, BMI is not providing us any significant relationships. So we then examined the relationship between our pathological weight management behaviors and gender. And what we saw that was across the board, if you see blue, I'm not sure if you can see in the back, but blue is females and purple is males. With the exception of diuretic use, a greater percentage of females are engaging in these pathological weight management behaviors when we compare them to the males in our study. And we see that the behavior that women were exhibiting most was fasting. But as you can see, binging, vomiting, excessive exercise was not that far behind. Okay, so what we decided to do was look at preoccupation. We decided to throw that into the mix. So we analyzed these pathological weight management behaviors, its relationship to the desire to be thin, separately for males and females. So this slide is actually showing just what we found for binging, but in the essence of time, instead of putting up every pathological behavior that we found, we see that similar behaviors were manifesting with diet pills, laxatives, vomiting, fasting, and compulsive exercise. So what we found with this is that a greater percentage of females who are preoccupied with the desire to be thin are engaging in all of these pathological behaviors more often than females who aren't. So if we look at just binging alone, we see that females who are preoccupied, 54% of females who are preoccupied binge compared to 14.5% of those who weren't preoccupied. And I think something that's really noteworthy, if you look at our men in this graph, the relationship disappears when you look at only males. Here's the one exception to the rule, and that was diuretic use. And so what we found when we looked at men, preoccupation, and diuretic use, men who are preoccupied, a greater percentage were engaging in diuretic use compared to men who weren't. But what you'll notice, and something that we found pretty interesting, is that regardless of preoccupation with a desire to be thin, the males in our study were engaging in diuretic use more frequently, greater percentage than females were, regardless of the desire to be thin. So for men, all other behaviors were not significantly influenced by the desire to be thin, yet diuretics were. So then we calculated odds ratios for our students looking at the desire to be thin, and we found that all students who were preoccupied were more likely to engage in these behaviors. So students who were preoccupied with the desire to be thin were 4 times more likely to binge, 3.5 more times likely to fast, 3 times more likely to vomit. So we wanted to then see how this would change if we looked at females only. So based upon current literature and what our study was already showing us about women, females who were engaging in these kinds of behaviors, we decided to look at females only. And so, very interesting, if you look at amongst females only, females who have the desire to be thin are 7 times more likely to binge, 5 times more likely to fast, almost 5 times more likely to vomit. If I can take you back and just compare the difference between when we looked at all students. So all students who had the desire to be thin, say, were 4 times more likely to binge. Look what happens when we only look at females. Females with a desire to be thin compared to the non-preoccupied counterparts are 7 times more likely to binge. And you can see the significant increases among all of the pathological weight management behaviors. Okay, so what does this mean? I think that we've laid out a pretty good case that shows that BMI is not a good predictor for the engagement of pathological weight control behaviors, and it also is not a good predictor of what students are going to be preoccupied with the desire to be thin. However, our research did confirm hypotheses that for those students who are preoccupied, they have a higher incidence of engagement in these behaviors. We also like to highlight the following. When you're looking to develop assessment or early intervention for particularly eating disorders, because we know these behaviors are indicative of eating disorders, the question, are you preoccupied with the desire to be thin, is a great question to ask women. But it's not such a great question to ask men. And so what we found was that men and women were engaging in different behaviors, and therefore it may be necessary to use different wording, different expressions, different questions when assessing men, males and females. So something like, are you preoccupied with a desire to lose body fat, or are you preoccupied with a desire to gain muscle mass, would be more appropriate for men, and we think that that would lead to more reliable results when you're looking at a population that is mixed, males and females. All right. Do we have time for questions?
All questions.
Questions at the end. Okay. Thank you.